Welcome to Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapp. Today, we're going to be talking about the Detroit Lions because it was a newsier day for the Detroit Lions. Obviously, we are awaiting word of Brock Wright and his decision and would the Lions match the offer. We'll get to that. We have a big trade that went down in the NFL that's going to affect the Detroit Lions next year. They also re-signed a player who is going to get, you know, a lot of people have, they have thoughts on him, Kendall Vildor. They re-signed Kendall Vildor, but we'll get to it in a minute. But first news of the day with the Brock Wright matching the contract that San Francisco offered. So San Francisco is offering a $12 million contract for 3 years with $6 million guaranteed that would pay, you know, that they would take Brock Wright. And because he was an undrafted free agent, Detroit Lions would get nothing in return. Nothing. So it was, do the Lions let him walk for nothing and get nothing to a potentially a team that you're going to go against in the playoffs against the San Francisco 49ers? I don't think they were going to do that. Now, I had my doubts that they were going to match the offer because $12 million is kind of a sizable amount for a second tight end. But then as I dug through the numbers, I looked at it and I go, okay, the Detroit Lions run a two tight end set the most in the NFL. That's number one. Number two, he is a great blocking tight end. He is a key part of this team. And if you're looking at it from, you know, the schematic point of run blocking, do we need Brock Wright, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery? It helps. And I think that's what San Francisco saw. And I think that's why you had to match the offer ultimately. Do I think Brad Holmes was he was backed into a corner where he had to make a decision. Was he going to keep Brock Wright? Was he not going to keep Brock Wright? I think those were decisions that had to be weighed. But ultimately, he had to make the decision to put this team in a better perspective of what they're trying to accomplish. And obviously, the run game is a huge part of this Detroit Lions team. Now, one of the things that I was surprised about with the Brock Wright signing, how many people were like, why did they match it? Well, what I just said, you know, the Detroit Lions do run a lot of two tight end sets. I was a little bit at the time that San Francisco put the offer out there, I was like, they're not going to match it. And then as this, you know, as I started doing a little more research into what the Detroit Lions do, I started to look at it and go, okay, maybe they will match it because this is a key part of this team. I know Brock Wright is not some, you know, great shakes as a tight end, but as a blocking tight end, he's a pretty damn good piece in the run game. And the way that Detroit wants to run the ball with Dave Montgomery, with Jahmyr Gibbs, this is kind of something that they had to do. And I'm not sure Brad Holmes is happy about paying Brock Wright the money that he's getting paid. Obviously, Brock Wright is worth what other teams are going to put into it. So if a team like the 49ers wants to pay the amount of money, like $12 million, fine. But the Detroit Lions had to match it if they wanted to keep Brock Wright. And, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting from the schematic point because, obviously, do you weigh schematic or, a building block more than, you know, the money? I know a lot of people were weighing that consequence of, you know, do you pay Brock Wright that money or do you go in the draft? You know, I heard Ben Sinnott sign it from Kansas State, who is a fantastic tight end, and he's a good fullback. So he can be used in both ways. And I thought that was a good idea as well. But obviously, when you get to the point where you're like, okay, we got to make a decision. Do we do it or do we not do it? You got to weigh out also the consequences. If you don't do it, this is not a deep tight end draft in terms of, you know, high-end talent, and Brock Wright has showed that he could be a really reliable pass catcher, and so that's what it is. So they matched the offer to from San Francisco to keep Brock Wright, and Brock Wright's going to be staying in Detroit. Now, Kendall Vildor, this is a guy a lot of Lions fans were kind of shocked that they brought back. It came around 11 o'clock today on a Wednesday. And you heard a lot of people go, man, why did they bring Kendall Vildor back? You know, why don't they get Stephen Gilmore, you know, or Steven Nelson or Avante Maddox? And my idea, I was talking to some people that are, you know, they're familiar with the league. They're in the league. They know what they're talking about. I lean on them for advice. I lean on them for some takes. And what was told to me was they don't think Stephen Gilmore or any of the cornerbacks or any of the free agents right now are going to take a deal right now. And I asked them why. Now, this might be, you know, for a lot of football fans, they might say, well, dummy, it's a draft. But there's a little bit of nuance to it. So the way it goes is, the way I was told is, especially for the Lions, this is what they think with the Lions. There's a lot of people in the league that think that Detroit will get Stephen Gilmore or potentially Steven Nelson, whatever comes their way. But the way I was kind of talked to about it was, they were telling me, you know, a lot of these free agents that are out there right now, they're not going to sign because they want to see what teams don't get what they're projected to need. You know, a lot of teams use the draft for needs. We know that Brad Holmes doesn't use the draft for needs, which is we're going to get to in my draft segment of this podcast. But when you don't use a draft for needs, it's open. But a lot of those free agents, they don't want to take the chance of coming here. And then, you know, Brad Holmes drafts a quarterback. And then he drafts another cornerback. He drafts two cornerbacks. And then you're stacked. And there's a lot of playing time that has to be decided. And just for the veteran standpoint, they can sign later and make the same amount of money that they're going to make. The money doesn't go nowhere. But obviously, Brad Holmes, you know, he doesn't draft on need. A lot of these teams do draft on need. So that's why these corners, there's some good talent out there in the free agency market. And the reason that they wait is so they see what other teams are bringing in. And if a team gets desperate enough, the way it was described to me is there are some teams that will get so desperate they will overpay for a free agent that was out there anyways because they didn't get the cornerback that they wanted, or they didn't get the edge rusher that they wanted, or they didn't get the wide receiver they wanted, or the tight end, or the, you know, sometimes the quarterback, you know, backup quarterback, like the Lions did with Teddy Bridgewater last year. They waited till after the draft to address the backup quarterback situation. So when it was talked to me like that, I understand it. So when they signed Kendall Vildor, I think what they're saying is, look, we like Amik Robertson. We like our Carlton. We like our defensive backfield. Now, I did find it interesting that Dave Burkett penciled in on his column on the Detroit Free Press. He was saying that Detroit Lions are looking for safety help, and there are some damn good safeties out there. Justin Simmons is one. Quandre Diggs is another. You know, Jamal Adams is another. You know, there's some really good safeties out there right now that could be had by the Detroit Lions. And if they want to go get those guys, they can go get those guys, period. But from my understanding and for people I talk to, these free agents are going to wait until after the draft because the way that the draft shakes out, that's kind of where they're going to lean. You know, I'm sure they already have offers from certain, you know, teams, and they're going to make the decision then. And that's what they're going to do. So I look at Kendall Vildor as it's a depth signing. If worse comes to worse, he can be your fourth cornerback. You know, you still got a lot of wiggle room in the salary cap to do so. And now, there was a big trade that went down in the NFL. A huge trade. Well, yeah, it's a huge trade because it will affect the Detroit Lions in some capacity. Now, the Detroit Lions will be facing the Houston Texans this year. And the Houston Texans traded today for Stephon Diggs. And, you know, overwhelmingly, first of all, I hear from people that are Lions fans. And they're like, why aren't we making bold moves? I can tell you this right now, with every bone in my body, the Buffalo Bills didn't trade Stephon Diggs because they thought they can get good value back. Obviously, Stephon Diggs is a great player. We know he's a head case, kind of, okay? We know that he can be kind of a head case. We know for a fact that he's kind of a diva. So, look, maybe they were trying to get away from that. But I'm not entirely going to base it on that the Buffalo Bills were just trying to get rid of Stephon Diggs. Now, I do think that I think the $31 million cap hit they took, I think that tells you everything. Now, what is Houston getting in Stephon Diggs? Who knows? what does Buffalo know that Houston doesn't? And Houston can take that chance because they have a rookie quarterback and they can build around that rookie quarterback because he's a pretty damn good quarterback. But when you're the Lions and you don't really need a guy like Stephon Diggs, okay, the Lions do need a wide receiver. We're going to get to that in my draft segment, but they don't need the kind of receiver that Stephon Diggs is. They don't. They really don't. They need an X wide receiver. So, you know, if there was one available and the Lions didn't make that call, fine. We can have that conversation. But at this point in time, like, people acting like the Detroit Lions are doing a disservice because they're not having a bold offseason. The same people, the same person I talked to about, you know, the free agent signing after the draft, I talked to him about this, and it was an interesting conversation because, you know, I was wondering what he was thinking, ultimately. And the thing that I got from this, he's an executive of, you know, an AFC team, I'll put it that way. And the way that he said it to me was, sometimes when you make a bold move, you end up costing yourself in the long run. And I look at a bold move like Stephon Diggs with a young quarterback with really, there's a lot of targets in Texas, in Houston. Tank Dell, Nico Collins, you know, Joe Mixon's their running back, you know, Damian Pierce, I think, is still there. Dustin Schultz. I don't look at Stephon Diggs as a guy that's going to give up his target share. I don't think he would be happy giving up his target share. And I really don't think that he's emotionally going to be like, yeah, I'm going to do whatever is best for a team, and I'm going to take three targets a game, and if I catch one pass, I'm good with it. He was on a team with the Buffalo Bills that was a Super Bowl contender, and he cried about having only six targets. So if I'm CJ Stroud, if I'm D'Amico Ryans, I have to understand that this guy might pop off at some times, and you're going to have to deal with it in the locker room. Just the way it is. But do I think that this is any indication on what the Detroit Lions are doing? No, because they don't need a guy like Diggs. They don't need a guy like Diggs. But it is a bold move, and I do think that Brad Holmes will make a bold move. You know, a lot of times you see those bold moves after the draft because at June 1st, some of these salary cap hits come down. One of the players I'm thinking about is Marshawn Lattimore. That's a guy who could be had. I just don't think that, you know, teams like the Buffalo Bills are in the market to just get rid of a player. I don't think that's the case. Now, if you want to tell me that the Buffalo Bills got rid of Stephon Diggs and they got a first round pick and he's 27 years old, all right, I can jive with that. But the fact of the matter is this: Stephon Diggs is 30 years old. A lot of his game is relied on the speed of what he does. He's a good route runner. We know that. Everyone knows that. If you watch him in Minnesota or Buffalo, he's a great route runner. But he's 30 years old. Would I take the chance on a 30-year-old wide receiver? More often than not, I'm not going to take that chance, especially with a guy like Stephon Diggs, because I know he's a good player, but I'm not going to take that shot. And I know a lot of other people will say, yeah, I'll take that shot. Go ahead. That's fine with me. You could do that because I think I personally wouldn't. So when it comes down to it, the Detroit Lions, it was a eventful day for the Lions, obviously, matching Brock Wright and matching Kindle Valdor. I mean, re-signing Kindle Valdor. But it was also an eventful day because the Detroit Lions opponent that they're going to be playing, the Houston Texans this year, they got a little bit stronger. I think the Houston Texans are going to be a damn good team, but I worry about the character dynamic of that team, especially when you add in that Stephon Diggs into a young receiver room with a young quarterback and a second-year head coach. I think that really is something that needs to be looked at. But look, we're going to talk about more on the Detroit Lions News podcast. We're going to hit a quick break. We'll be back in a minute. Obviously, if you're on the podcast, you really won't hear a transition or nothing. So, but I'll start over. But we're going to go into segment two of the podcast, which is going to be free agents that are still available that we can go and get. That'll be next on the Detroit Lions News podcast. All right, we're back on the Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chap. Today, you know, obviously in the first segment, we talked about the moves that day and everything, and I kind of alluded to some players that are still available on the free agent market. Let's get to some of those these free agents because I think they can be had. I still think they're doable, but we got to get past the draft, and then I think these guys will sign. So the first one is Avante Maddox. Avante Maddox is a Detroit native. He went to Martin Luther King Jr. High School in Detroit. He came from Philly. He would be coming from Philly. He's a really good cornerback. Has had a great career as a slot corner. If the Detroit Lions are going to make a move there, they can go there. Stephen Gilmore, obviously Stephen Gilmore's brother, Stephen Gilmore on the Detroit Lions, and that would be a real good match if you can get him for a 1-year deal. I know that some teams will potentially overpay, and you really can't overpay for a guy that is in his early 30s. Steven Nelson is a guy who he played for Houston last year, if I recall correctly. He's a good corner. He's not flashy by no stretch of the imagination, but you're not going to get a flashy corner at this point unless you make a trade. So I think that's a good one. Now, a lot of people like the Xavien Howard one. I can tell you this right now. I think Xavien Howard would be good with this Detroit defense. The only thing that I really worry about with Xavien Howard is how healthy is he? You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's healthy, cool. I'll take the chance. I'll do it. Let's go with it. But I honestly don't think that he is entirely healthy. I just don't. And people not banging on the door, I think that kind of tells you everything you need to know about Xavien Howard. If Xavien Howard is healthy, I think a lot of teams are going to be banging on the door because he's had a good career. But, you know, when you kind of hang out that long and there's this you know, thing out there that you're slow and you're on the wrong side of your career, I worry about them. Obviously, you could take a veteran deal, but if you're going to give me the choice, would I choose Stephen Gilmore, Steven Nelson over Xavien Howard? I would. Would I choose Avante Maddox over Xavien Howard? I would. So that's an interesting one. The last one I'm going to name on this kind of parameter, because then we're going to go to the next two. It's off, you know, two reports that have gone around. Calais Campbell, the defensive end. Would I like to bring him into Detroit? Last year, Detroit had a shot to sign Calais Campbell. He went to Atlanta. And if I'm going to be honest, I don't think he had an amazing year. But what I do like about Calais Campbell and the Detroit Lions signing Calais Campbell is one thing. I think Calais Campbell in the defensive line locker room with DJ Reader as a veteran, savvy, two-headed punch, and I do like that, especially for the defensive line, because a lot of them are young, a lot of them are inexperienced, and I look at Calais Campbell, I look at DJ Reader, they played in big games, and when you get to the playoffs, that could be a major, you know, what would you do against, like, I can see James Houston or Aiden Hutchinson going to Calais Campbell and be like, what would you do in this situation, you know, even if Calais Campbell is 80% of what he was, you know, last year, if let's say he's 90%, I'd still take him because the veteran leadership is totally well worth it. So that's the guy. Now, Dave Burkett of the Free Press, he penned an article today. It was talking about the Lions could use help at safety. So I wrote down three safeties that couldn't make sense for the Detroit Lions. Obviously, you got Justin Simmons, the safety from Denver. Would he make sense for the Detroit Lions locker room? Obviously, safety is a kind of loaded position. I don't know if they're looking. I don't know if Justin Simmons is looking to start. I don't know what Detroit's defense is going to look like, if they're going to start Mel Vamu or put Branch back there. I've read some stuff that Branch could be put back at the safety position. Obviously, you got Kirby Joseph, all that stuff. It's an interesting dynamic. Do you want to upgrade your safety room? Justin Simmons is a hell of a safety, and he would make that safety room elite. He's a very good player. He's got good leadership skills. And I think that he would be fantastic in that safety locker room, especially with how young it is. The next guy I look at is Quandre Diggs, but he put out a cryptic tweet the other day where it was April Fool's. So I'm not going to pay any attention to it, but if Quandre Diggs is still able to play football, if he still wants to play football, I would look at Quandre Diggs. Quandre Diggs, I don't feel like he would come in here and start, and that's fine with me. You don't have to come in here and start. He don't. He could just come in here, play his game, do what he needs to do, play, you know, as a depth safety and help out the young kids. And I think that he would do that because he's that kind of guy. And I think that he would love to come here and win some football games because the last time he was here, there was a guy named Matt Patricia here, and that wasn't any good. Now, the last guy is an interesting name. He was in the division for many years. That is Eddie Jackson. Now, Eddie Jackson, I don't know what he's holding out for. I don't know if there's an injury on the equation. I don't know anything of that ilk. But what I do look at with Eddie Jackson is his playmaking skills. And if I had him in a depth role, that'd be great for me. Obviously, Eddie Jackson, he's not going to be the same safety was in his younger part. I still think he's a younger guy. I just think that he's like, obviously older. But anytime you get these safeties, I don't look at any of these safeties as they're going to change the game. I think Justin Simmons is the only one that would come in here and start. So it's about, you know, do you want depth or do you want someone that starts? And I think that if you want depth, you're going to go Quandre Diggs. You're going to go Eddie Jackson. If you want someone that potentially could start a game, you look at Justin Simmons. And that's the interesting part. Now, I seen another report. It tied the Detroit Lions to Tyler Boyd. Obviously, with the Detroit Lions losing Josh Reynolds to Denver, which makes no sense for Josh Reynolds, but bygones be bygones. He will have no one to throw to him. I look at this report, and they mentioned that Tyler Boyd has been in contact with the Detroit Lions. And it makes me think a couple things. Well, we're going to get into one piece of it on the next segment. But ultimately, I look at Tyler Boyd and I go, man, you know, there's only two wide receivers I would legitimately look at. It's Tyler Boyd and Michael Thomas. Now, the thing about Michael Thomas, he's also a head case. He also can be a cancer in a locker room, and I don't think that Detroit would bring him in. But if there's any team that's going to bring in Michael Thomas, it's going to probably be the Broncos because of the connection with Sean Payton, or it's going to be Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn because they obviously know who Michael Thomas is, what he's about, and if they feel like he can help the team, they'll bring him in. If they feel like he's going to be a cancer in a locker room, they're not going to bring him in. That's all I could say about that. Now, that goes into my next point. It's the next part of the segment. And, you know, one of the things I've been kind of hinting back and forth on in terms of who to draft at 29. You know, who to draft. I heard an idea yesterday about if Brock Bowers is there, would you draft Brock Bowers? And I would, to be honest. Here's the thing about Brock Bowers. A lot of people are going to ask, why would you draft Brock Bowers? And yesterday was kind of a moot point today because they matched the offer to Brock Wright. So you could say, well, no, I'm not going to draft Brock Bowers now. I thought about it yesterday. I was like, yeah, let's get him if Brock Wright doesn't get matched. And obviously, Brock Wright got matched. But it brings me to another point. And my other point is simple. It's really simple. If the Detroit Lions decided to go with an offensive playmaker, offensive skill player, at 29, would you be upset? And I thought about it, and I still think about it. There's a couple players that I would love to have on this Detroit Lions roster. Now, let's get to them. One of them is a Texas wide receiver, A.D. Mitchell. He's a great player. If you watch Texas, he really comes off at the top. He's a great player. He's phenomenal. And the one thing I can say about A.D. Mitchell is, I'm pulling up the stats right now, but when you look at A.D. Mitchell and his stats that are, you know, advanced stats, kind of like the contested catch rate and all that stuff, he was really elite on that. He was really elite on that. And I thought that A.D. Mitchell, if he's available, would be a very good pick for Detroit. I just would. When you look at a guy like A.D. Mitchell, there's a couple things that you look at. One, here's his receiving grade from Pro Football Focus. It was 74.1, which is good. His contested catch rate was 36.4. That's a little bit low. His drop rate was 1.8. That's pretty good. His grade versus man coverage was 66.9, and you know, he had 3.2 yards after reception. I don't really like that, but it is what it is. So at Donnie Mitchell, that's another guy. When I look at a guy like the other guy I mentioned is Brian Thomas, and Brian Thomas is the receiver from LSU. And there's a lot of mock drafts where he doesn't even get to the Detroit Lions. But if you look at this guy, this is a guy I like. He's a 6'4 wide receiver out of LSU. PFF writes Thomas is a kind of player every offense wants for their vertical passing game plans. As a former football and basketball star in high school, he is big, tall, and fast vertical threat who demands the defense to always be honest about his ability to get behind him. His footwork and flexibility are fast, fluid for a big man, and from 2022 to 2023, his releases have become more effective in creating separation. He is also willing and a competitive blocker. He posts a career-high catch percentage in 2023, and that needs to continue moving forward. When I look at his stats, contested catch rate is 53.8. That's a pretty damn good contested catch rate. Yards per a route run is 2.6. He's pretty damn good. His drop rate is a little high for my liking, 6.8%. He's gonna have to keep his hands on the ball. But the one thing you can look at with his yards after the catch, 5.7 yards. His average depth of target at LSU was 13.9. The missed tackles force was 11. Deep catches, he was 15th. That was tied for third in the NCAA last year. And his best games came against some pretty damn good teams. I mean, you look at a team like Florida State. Look at a team like Ole Miss. You look at a team like Florida. Florida wasn't that good last year, but bear with me. But Brian Thomas, he looks like a legitimate prospect. And when I look at Brian Thomas, I think that would be the perfect player for the Detroit Lions at 29. The issue with that is he might not be available at 29. He might not be available at 29. So I look at that and I go, okay, that is something to kind of look at. Now, and then the other guy that I'm looking at, and he's a wide receiver from Oregon. He is 6'3", 187 pounds from Oregon. His big board rank is 39 from Pro Football Focus. He's 21. Franklin, a former four-star wide receiver recruit, played in all 14 games in his true freshman season at Oregon and started every game in his sophomore and junior season. He's a smooth strider as a vertical receiver. He was a top explosive play pass catcher on Oregon's offense the past two seasons. His calling card is his ability as a vertical threat, both from the slot and the outside. Over the past two seasons, he's diversified his releases and his general footwork to create separation in more ways than through vertical speed. His strength is a concern when fighting through the contact window and on contested catches. They say, bottom line, Franklin might get lost in a shuffle of a loaded wide receiver class, but he shouldn't. His smoothness comes from his athletic profile and his confidence in knowing how to win it at the position. He needs to continue to get stronger, but overall, he is a competitive player who could be a good wide receiver too for a vertical NFL offense. And when you look at his trends, contested catch rate isn't great. His yards per route run is 3.32. His drop rate was 10%, which is horrible. His grade against man coverage was 82.2, which is good. But overall, there's not much to really like about Troy Franklin. I think that he has the ability to be good, but overall, he needs a little bit of work. So you look at Troy Franklin, you look at another name that's going to be, I've seen in mock drafts to the Detroit Lions, it's been Ladd McConkey. And I don't really, and you know, a lot of people look at him and they go, he could be an X wide receiver. Well, if you read what some of these people are saying, they're saying that he can't be an X wide receiver. And that's fine. If he's not an X wide receiver, that's totally fine. But the fact of the matter is this, Detroit's going to need an X wide receiver at some point in this draft. They're going to have to go get an X wide receiver. And if Brian Thomas is there, if A.D. Mitchell is there, go get him. Another name that you can look for late in the draft is Brendan Rice, Keenan Coleman, guys like that. I think they could be good. Jalen Polk, I think he could be good too. But I really like some of my top receivers to go to Detroit would be A.D. Mitchell, would be Brian Thomas, be Brendan Rice and Keon Coleman because of their size and their athletic ability. Now, Keon, his drop percentage is not that great, and his contested catch rate wasn't that great either. So that's something that you look at with those guys. Obviously, when we talked about the contested catch rate, out of all those guys, A.D. Mitchell struggled with that. You know, Troy Franklin struggled with that. Keon Coleman struggled with that. The only one that was really, really good was Brian Thomas. And Brian Thomas had a great year at LSU. So the thing about it is, would I draft an offensive skill player at 29? My thing is, I don't think you're going to be able to draft one of those players at 29. If we're going to be totally honest with ourselves. At 29... and we're going to get into this in the next segment, but I might as well hit on it a little bit. At 29, the players that have came at that position, at that pick, it's been bleak. Just has. So if you're going to go get that offensive skill player, like a Brian Thomas, like a A.D. Mitchell, you might have to trade up. And would I trade up for Brian Thomas? Absolutely. I think if there's one player that I would trade up for, it's Brian Thomas of LSU. I look at his stats. I looked at his film. I think he's a really well-rounded player. I think in an offense like Detroit, I think he could excel. I think with the, you know, wide receiver room, I think he could excel. I look at Brian Thomas and I go, man, if that guy just had a guy. Now I know Jaden Daniels is going to be a top five pick, no doubt about it. But there were some throws that I saw Brian Thomas get that I was amazed by. I was totally amazed by it. Because when you think about a wide receiver, you think about a guy who's on time with his route. He's on time with the way that he catches the ball. He's on time with the way that he makes the route run look good. And I looked at Jaden Daniels last year, and there were some times where he would throw off timing, and Brian Thomas made the adjustment, and Malik Nabers didn't. And Malik Nabers is a top 10 NFL draft pick. And it's no shot at Malik Nabers. No, it's no shot. Malik Nabers is a damn good wide receiver. But when I looked at the film, there was a lot of catches, especially on a third down, a third and long, they went to Brian Thomas. If there's one player in this draft, I would be totally okay with the Detroit Lions trading up to get Brian Thomas. If you believe without a doubt that this guy could be, you know, a missing piece to the Detroit Lions offense, you know, the X wide receiver, the tall wide receiver, the contested catch wide receiver, you're looking at a guy that could potentially change the game. And this is a team that already has a good offense, so you don't need to worry about that. As it stands right now, Brian Thomas would be my number one guy that I would trade up to go get. I think Brian Thomas is one of the best wide receivers in this draft. His contested catch rate, like I said, is really effing good. He's really talented. And I just, the way that people look at Brian Thomas. I mean, the contested catch rate, 53.8. You know, he had 5 drops on the whole year. His grade for his man coverage was a little bit meh, but I think he's only going to get better. And if you put him in a receiver room with Amon-Ra and Jameson, I think that he's going to, you know, find some things that he can use off those guys. And I think if you're going to draft an offensive skill player in this draft, I think you look at Brian Thomas. You know, I know a lot of people are going to be like, man, why are you saying the Lions should draft an offensive skill player when they need defense? It's a great point. It's a great point that I cannot argue. The one thing I can argue, though, is this. The Detroit Lions and the NFL, there's been a change in the NFL. There's been a change in the way the NFL is officiated. There's been a change in the way things are done. And when I look at a guy like Brian Thomas, or I look at a cornerback, like, you know, name the cornerback that you can get at 29 or you can trade up to get, what would make more of an impact? Because I can argue with you right now that defense is becoming less of an impact in this game with the new tackling rules. It's going to be a total advantage to the offense. And if I got a guy like Brian Thomas, who's fast, who's physical, who can make good contested catches, that's a guy I would go get. I think you're going to focus less on defense in the future. Obviously, you're going to want a top flight defense, but overall, you're going to look for the offensive players. You're going to try to have the best offensive players. Why? Because the game is suited towards them. It's not that I wouldn't love to have a defense. It's not that I wouldn't be happy with a defense that's, you know, ranked number one. But if you're being honest with me, the way the game is officiated, the way that they made the new rules with the tackling and the hip drop rule, it's more suited towards the offense. And if I'm a general manager, I'm taking note of that. Because, look, you could draft defensive players, but at the end of the day, you win this league with offense. You're not winning a Super Bowl scoring 17 points a game. You're winning a Super Bowl scoring 27-31. You know, even the two Super Bowl teams last year, they had the ability to score. Yes, they had two good defenses, and they're some of the best defenses in the league. What it came down to at the end of the day was skill. It came down to, you know, teams making offensive plays. And ultimately, that's what won the game. So I know a lot of people are going to be like, why would you draft an offensive skill player when defense is a need? This draft has a lot of talent in the defensive backfield that I would take in the later rounds. You know, I know a lot of people want a defensive end. I would like a defensive end as well. But with them signing Marcus Davenport, it just seems like they're putting a lot of hope into James Houston. Do I agree with it? No. Do I think it could end up disastrous? Yes. Do I think that Aiden Hutchinson can't be the only one putting pressure on the quarterback? Yes. But also I look at the DJ Reader signing and I look at that and I go, that's going to springboard Aleem McNeil. So you get pressure from the inside. And then you look at James Houston. This is a huge year for him. And Davenport and Josh Pascal. And I'm pretty positive that that's what Brad Holmes is putting his hope in. And he's putting his hope on. Is these young players, you know, progressing and getting better. That's what I think. So it's interesting. It's an interesting mindset. But when I heard some of the people saying, would you draft Brock Bowers, it got me to thinking, would you go for offense? Because I would. And you know, before Brock Wright signed his, you know, before Detroit matched the offer that San Francisco had, if Brock Bowers was there, I would think about drafting Brock Bowers. But obviously, as the news came out, you know, news comes out and it changes your opinion, but it really doesn't for me. I still think that XY receiver is a huge need for this team. If there was a player that I'm going to trade up for, if there's going to be two players that I would trade up for, if they got into the 15 through 20 range, I'd look at a guy like Quintian Mitchell from Toledo if he got there. But most mock drafts don't have him there. Or Brian Thomas. You know, I feel like this Detroit Lions team is in a really good position to add talent, and they can make some moves. And when you look at that, the reality is the situation is this. They're a damn good team. They have a lot of things working towards their future. And I think Brett Holmes is he said in his press conference, and it rings true, he doesn't draft on need. He drafts on the best player. And if the best player is available, I think Brad Holmes is going to go get it. I think Brad Holmes is more bold in the draft than he is in with free agents or trades. And that's fine because you can get a guy like, you know, they traded back and got Jahmyr Gibbs. Fine. That trade back also landed you Sam Laporta. Fine. That's a bold move that impacted you in a positive way last year. So if Brad Holmes wants to trade up to get Brian Thomas, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. If Brad Holmes wants to do that, I'd be all for it. I'm not going to be closed-minded because the Detroit Lions could use a lot of different players. And it's not just this whole, yeah, let's go defense, let's go defense, let's go defense, let's go defense. Because the reality of the situation is this. The rules have changed. The game is going to change. Defense is going to be, you know, it's going to be obviously useful and it's going to be a need. But should you invest critical draft pick capital instead of making your offense whole? That's the question. Because I really do think that Jameson Williams is going to be even better next year. We know what to expect from St. Brown. I think Sam Laporta is going to take a step up, and I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to take a step up. So if you just get the next wide receiver, you can eventually have one of the best offenses in the league. There's no doubt about that. Interested to hear what you guys think. You know, comment on the page, on the podcast, post. We'll put it out there. But that's what I think. I think if Detroit has a shot to take Brian Thomas, even if it's a trade-up, I'm going to get him. I made my mind up. And the reason that I made my mind up is because that's the next segment we're going to get into on the Detroit Lions podcast. What have the last 10 picks been like at 29? You're not going to want to miss this. Absolutely not going to want to miss this. Well, that and more on the Detroit Lions podcast. So before we end the podcast, I wanted to hit on this. This is the last 10 picks at drafted at pick 29. And this is the reason that I would ultimately draft an offensive player and trade up to get that offensive player. Because when you look at the last 10 drafted players at pick 29, think about this list. 2013, Cordell Patterson. 2014, Dominique Easley. 2015, Philip Dorsett. 2016, Robert Kimdichie. So far, a brutal list. 2017, David Njoku. Pretty damn good. 2018, Taven Bryant. 2019, LJ Collier. 2020, Isaiah Wilson. Oof. 2021 was a good year. Eric Stokes, who played for the Green Bay Packers, really good pick. That actually worked out pretty damn well for the Green Bay Packers. 2022, Cole Strange, which was a strange pick at that time. 2023 was Brian Brise. We seen him with New Orleans. He looked really damn good. And he looked like a player that could actually, like, help his team. And I thought that was a really good pick for the New Orleans Saints. But when you look at it like that, New Orleans, they're looking like a legitimate, with Brian Brise, Eric Stokes looked good in that whole thing at pick 29. There's only three picks I look at and go, damn, those are good picks. The rest were kind of chintzy. And I think... When you look at the history of the pick at 29, I think it lends a credence that you might have to trade up to get your player. And I'm fine with doing that. Like I said, Brian Thomas would be a great pick for the Detroit Lions. He's obviously a need, an X, Y receiver. But when you look at this history of the pick 29, it's pretty brutal. Pretty brutal. So, with all that being said, this has been a great podcast. Obviously, over the next couple weeks, we'll hit more draft content. I'm trying to figure out the way we're going to approach it. But, obviously, I try to keep the podcast to a minimum when it's the off season. But obviously, with the draft coming up, that kind of leads credence to more active podcast. And with obviously the draft coming up it's coming up quick, 2-3 weeks from tomorrow. It's a huge time. And obviously I'll go more in depth with some of the players from, the later rounds that we can potentially get. I'm going to get into my needs that we need. I'll post those on the Detroit Lions News podcast page. But all in all, the Detroit Lions, they look like they could have a really good team. And ultimately, if you are anyone, you're thinking about it and going, okay, that's fine with it. Really good. But this draft is going to be weird because obviously if you're a Lions fan, you're used to picking earlier in the draft. You're picking later in the draft, and you might have to make moves to commit trade up if you want the player that you want. And based on the last 10 picks at 29, I'd say that'd be a good idea, guys. I'd say that'd be a pretty damn good idea because that list is brutal. Besides Eric Stokes, besides David Njoku, who's not even that great, you really have guys that aren't that good, or they are that good, in Eric Stokes, Brian Brzee, and David Njoku. But most of that list was absolute trash. Robert Condici, oh, I remember when he signed with Ole Miss, and he thought he was going to be the next Dwight Freeney. Philip Dorsett, oh, it's when you look at the history of those draft picks, that's something that you have to look at. And I'm sure Brett Holmes looks at, and I'm sure he looks at if he could trade up and make a trade, that's something that he's going to do. But we're going to talk more draft on the next couple podcasts. Obviously, the Lions re-signing Kendall Vildor and Brock Wright and a big trade going down the NFL. That obviously moved the needle for us. But the next podcast will be just strictly draft content for you. So you can listen to your podcast. You can listen to that. Obviously, I'm Joe Chapp of the Detroit Lions News Podcast. We'll see you in the next podcast as we talk about the NFL draft coming up in Detroit. The Detroit Lions own pick 29, and they have obviously some needs. But as we know, Brad Holmes doesn't draft by need. So we will talk about those in upcoming podcasts. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next podcast, or you'll hear from me in the next podcast. And thank you for listening to the Detroit Lions News Podcast. Thank you.